Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 72 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We first of all hope everyone's keeping safe and well and taking care of their mental health and everything right now. We did want to talk about something topical this week. We know that a lot of you are having to work from home, and that might mean both of you, and so obviously relationships are under a different kind of strain right now. People's day-to-day lives are looking really, really different because of the coronavirus outbreak. I mean, we're both working from home, aren't we? We kind of started on the same exact day, actually, so I think it's just, we wanted to make sure that people weren't struggling with this too much. If you find that you and your partner are suddenly like in the same space all day, you know, we're lucky in that we have a house with a little bit more room. You know, maybe you live in a studio apartment and you're just crammed together all day, every day, trying to do your work, and that could be really challenging. So we wanted to just talk about, you know, how you can get through this time if you're both forced to be home working together, and, you know, how to be a bit more gentle with each other, really. So I think the first thing that we made sure we did when this all happened was make sure that we both had dedicated workspaces. And do you think that's been helpful?
Yeah, it's been helpful because we're not, you still have your time on your own. I mean, I think a big part of the challenge of this isn't just the extra time together, because you may not be together, like we're not together most of the day, but it's the being away from your colleagues and being alone and being in the same place 24/7. I'm kind of okay with that. I've freelanced for years and stuff. I'm kind of used to it, and I like the house and stuff. So I don't really feel bothered by it. But I know a lot of people that's not true for them, and we're also lucky that two of us live in the house and we have pets and things like that. So there's things to
distractions.
It's not just distractions, but it's things to enjoy and there's company to varying extent. But you know, so there are people who live alone in an apartment. So whereas, you know, we're able to go in the garden and at least get some fresh air and sun when it's there, you know, it's important to recognise that there are people who don't have that luxury, where they're literally indoors, and they're not just indoors, they're in one building. And, you know, certainly the apartments we've had in the past, they were small. So you had one room. Okay, yeah, you could go into a bedroom or you can go into the kitchen, but predominantly you're in one room. I think that's the big challenge, is that working from home means different things for everyone, and so we'll come on to talking in relation to each other. But I think it's important that we also acknowledge that particular challenge, and then the strain that can have on the two of you is that if you're someone that's really affected by it, or your partner's really affected by it, there's the potential for it to put you in a bad mood or kind of anxious or a bit of a funk, which then gets taken out on the other person in the house, even though they've done nothing wrong. So, you know, there's a lot of potential factors going on as to why this can be a problem for people.
Yeah, for sure. But I think one thing to deal with, you know, one kind of either preventative or, you know, actionable thing that you can do is make sure that you both do have those designated workspaces.
Yeah.
And I think... you know, when we are at work, we have our own designated space to sit and stuff. And obviously everybody's on conference calls and Zoom calls and Microsoft Teams calls, everything right now. So, you know, I've been using the podcast studio, you know, the desk in here. Rich has been either working downstairs, like at the kitchen breakfast bar, or in the spare bedroom that has I have a dressing table in there. I've cleared off all my makeup stuff.
And I think what this, a big part of this particular point about designated workspaces is twofold. One is, you're not always together. I think that's important. You shouldn't be together all the time if you can avoid it. But also, you're creating as much normality as you can. So if when you go to work, chances are you don't just work wherever you feel like it that day. You don't pick the comfiest chair. You have a desk, and that's what. So when you go through that door, you know, the brain's a clever thing, you know, and like, you kind of have different modes for wherever you are. So when you're at home, you're in a different mindset to when you're at work. And generally speaking, you haven't got to consciously say, okay, I need to be in work mode. Your brain just switches. You're at work. Yeah. And so when you walk through that door in the morning, you're at work, and that's a really, really hard thing to do from home. So I think that as much as you can create a designated area so that it gives your brain that chance, especially now we're a few weeks into quarantine, it gives your brain a chance to say, okay, this is where I work. And it kind of recalibrates things, and it's not... And that's a very, very different thing to being on the couch in your pajamas with the TV on mute in the background. Like, all of that is just confusing you.
Yeah, I mean, when I work from home, the odd day, like if we're having something delivered or someone's coming to repair something, that's kind of what I do. Like, I'm in really sloppy clothes, I sit on the sofa, and that's fine for me for one day. But if I'm like, this is the new normal, this is our new structure. And so I need to make sure that for my own kind of focus and mental health, as well as your focus and me supporting you and being able to do your job, that I have that. So, you know, our morning routine is similar to what it was before, but obviously a bit slower. You know, we don't have to dash off in the morning, get in the car and go to work. And, you know, 8:20 every morning, we've been maybe reading, had some coffee, talked to each other, whatever. And, you know, by then I'm dressed and showered and put my makeup on, and it's, okay, babe, I'm going upstairs, I'm logging on, I've got my conference call with the team.
And we have a pretty designated lunchtime, and then we'll spend however long that lasts together,
lunchtime.
Up to an hour,
yeah.
But sometimes we stagger it a little bit. But you know, it is important because, like you said, if you've got a day off, I think...
If
you're working a day from home, you know, I know a lot of people kind of have half vacation mode.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's okay, but if you're doing it every day... Your bosses are going to expect productivity as well.
Especially
in times like this. But it's all what complicates it as well is that it's not just a case of I'm working from home because I want to be here and I'll make sure I do it. A lot of people are really going to be trying to do that while also overcoming the difficulty of being able to work from home and not particularly enjoying it or not finding it very easy. And it's an uphill struggle. And I think, you know, reach out to people too, because... no one in my office has ever worked from home before. I don't know about your office, but, you know, so for a lot of people, this is going to be a brand new experience other than the occasional day working from home.
Yeah.
So I think if you know anyone who does freelance or does work for themselves, talk to them and ask them, like, how do you do this? Because don't forget, I mean, even then, not everyone has the same aptitude for it. You know, a lot of people who work for themselves do it from a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a big cliche now that they go to the Starbucks and drain their Wi-Fi and plug all their devices in and stuff. Like, so it's not just... And the reason they do that is one, I can't work at home, it's home. And two, I need to be around people. So if people who choose to freelance and things have to do that, how I think it's going to be for people who are in offices around people and really need that buzz. So... designated workspaces, definitely. And I think the point you wanted to make earlier on that as well was that it maintains distance between you.
Yeah. And I think that's important because it gives you, you know, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of, you know, things that I follow are talking about how people who, you know, might be in a situation where domestic abuse is an issue, like, God, that's a whole other can of worms and stuff. But I think if you're just kind of a somewhat, you know, quote unquote normal couple, you know, and hopefully those issues aren't in your relationship, anything relating to abuse, even still, you're going to get under each other's skin because we're thrown together constantly now. And I just think that having those designated workspaces gives you that distance from one another. And, you know, you should be concentrating anyway. You should, if you're working from home, you should be working. So you have one less thing to think about there. So the next thing kind of ties into that, but also a bit different, is have boundaries and respect those boundaries. So I think, you know, each day, what calls do you have today? Okay, I have a call at 2, I have one at 11, okay. And then we just try and make sure that wherever we are in the house, or if one of us wants to get a cup of coffee, we're not going to be disturbing one another. And also, you know, that might mean if Rich is upstairs working in the spare bedroom, that I've got some music playing, I keep it down quite low because I don't know if you like it or if it'll bother you. You know, it's a small house, we're in different rooms, but they're right across the landing from one another.
I think, you know, one of the things that I remember when I used to work from home was people didn't really get it. Like, they would think, oh, you're home, can you do this? Can you come and meet me here? And this is people who maybe had a day off, you know, not everyone who was at work. But there was just always this assumption that I'm at home, I can take personal phone calls, I can go out and meet people, or I can
do favors.
People can you just pop around and do this, you know, if you're live in proximity to people, people that, you know, family and friends, obviously you live near people. But, you know, boundaries apply not just to each other, but generally, and to yourself as well, because it's really easy to be at home and think, and to be working at home and look around and think, oh, you know, it needs vacuuming in here, I'll do that. I'll just load the dishwasher. Before you know, you spent all morning doing housework rather than work. And
we haven't had that problem yet.
We haven't. But that's just an example. I mean, that, the same thing could be, oh, my favourite TV shows are now. I'll just watch an episode. It'll get me in the zone. Or oh, there is such nice weather. I'll go and sit in the garden for 10 minutes. It's really, really easy. Because I think as humans in general, we are pretty bad at judging time. So it's like, oh, I'll just do that for a minute. And before you know it, 3 hours have gone by. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, I think to make the most of this, you need some parameters. And this is going to be a lot, you know, a lot of this will be influenced by the culture from your employer anyway. I think if your boss says, look, do you know what, guys, I don't really care what your working hours are as long as the work gets done, then yeah, you know, maybe you'll say, do you know what, I'm going to enjoy the mornings and I'm gonna work a bit later, or I'm going to just get all my work done by 3 and have a longer, if your boss is okay with that. But, you know, if you've got clients and things and that, you're going to need to have more structure and more of a normal day. So I think as much as you can have boundaries for yourself as well, that's going to be really important. So boundaries for each other, everything you said about, I've got this call, this is when I start work, and respecting that they're at work. I can't go and ask them to do this and this.
Yeah, and also on kind of on the boundaries for yourself thing, it's really hard because obviously we're communicating with everyone now via technology, people that we maybe normally wouldn't is quite as much. So like an example of this, you know, I have an iPhone, I have a MacBook, and so obviously messages are synced up. So if someone's messaging me on my phone, it's dinging on my computer. I was messaging with my mom yesterday morning before I got on my video call, and we were texting back and forth, and I said, okay, I need to log on to work now, so I'll talk to you later, thinking she'd be like, okay, talk to you later. She kind of did, but then she kept messaging me stuff that she wanted me to look at later, like pictures of stuff she's sewing and things like that. So I'm sitting here on my MacBook and I'm getting ding, ding in the middle of my morning conference call with the whole team. So I had to like pick up my phone discreetly so that, you know, I'm like, can you stop I'm really sorry. Can you stop messaging me? These are coming through. So it's stuff you don't even think about that maybe you wouldn't have had to set as a boundary before and you do now.
And as an extension to that, no one's looking over your shoulder to make sure you're not on Facebook now.
Yeah.
You know, like before you might, generally speaking, if you're in a meeting in the office, most people aren't on their phones.
Yeah.
There's always one person under the desk. But generally speaking, now you really have, you're in charge of your own behavior now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, again, aren't used to that. And it's, so if that's you, you know, I'm assuming all phones have it. I know the iPhone does. You can get them on computers too, but like a screen activity report, and you can see, oh shit, I'm on Facebook like 3 hours more a day than I normally am or whatever. But you know, it's just, you kind of have to audit yourself now, and you have much more leeway to.
It's weird because we have so much less freedom right now in so many ways, but in a lot, like work related, we have so much more freedom.
Yeah, so you have to be honest. I know. I feel like I say this every episode. You have to kind of be honest with yourself and who you are, and acknowledge, you know, this is my shortcoming. Because maybe you have to leave your phone in another room and say, I'll only look at that at lunchtime because mm-hmm. I can't trust myself with it. Maybe you're really good with the phones, but there's something else, you know, because it's hard, like we've got pets, you know, so it's like, it's really easy to say, oh, I just want to be with the dogs right now.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, I think it is good that we probably take more short breaks now. So maybe, you know, when I go to the kitchen to get a drink, I may take 2 minutes just to say hello to you if you're working in the lounge, or maybe I will kick the ball for the dog. But that's just 2 minutes mm-hmm. rather than, I'll have a break and watch an episode of something for half an hour.
Yeah.
So, and that can be a nice little sort of mental reset. But yeah, have boundaries.
Definitely. So I think the next point would really be treating it as if this was still a normal day. Obviously nothing feels normal right now. Although I think probably this past week I've started to feel like I'm finally finding a new routine and this new kind of normal. But we really need to find a way to treat it like a normal day. So our normal day, and probably a lot of people's normal day, is we get up, we have our morning routine, we both head off to work, see you later, we'll message a bit throughout the day, but obviously our main focus is our work and our colleagues. And then we come home, and then we have our evening, you know, workout, you know, things, then we spend time together. So I think if you're mixing up your day and making things feel really different and you're shaking it up, it's not a normal day, and you need that structure of a normal day. Whatever your normal is, everyone's normal is going to be different to get your work done.
Well, that kind of goes back to what I said before, that if you've got to give your brain the best opportunity to recognize this is work, so you can, you get into that right headspace. And if you're every day, like, if work is different for you every day, then I'm not talking about that. You know, if your job is different day to day, fine. But I'm talking, like, for us, where jobs mean the same place most of the time, you're at the desk, you're getting work done on a computer, then you need to really have that established as a recurring pattern. And so a normal day, I think, is like the most essential thing you can do. And but also one of the things both of our companies have been quite fortunate, are very keen to maintain some communication, because not just to get work done, but on the basis that, you know, a lot of people are going to be suffering. We do have at least one member of the team that does live completely alone, and not only that, the family all lives abroad, so that there's extra stress. So, you know, our employers are very much, let's get on a video call every day and keep in touch with each other, and, you know, have an afternoon, like, conference call, just have a cup of tea. We've not done that yet, but the idea has been suggested. But, you know, so for anyone listening to this in a position where that could work, if you're not already doing that, then pitch the idea to the team and say, hey, how about we have a conference call every afternoon with a cup of tea, just say, how's the day been? Or every morning, just to say good morning to everyone. It's really important, because we're all physically alone, but you can kind of trick yourself as much as possible that you're not.
And it's interesting, you know, my companies, you know, very much like you said, both of our companies are doing the same thing in terms of encouraging contact. And, you know, we could very easily just be messaging each other, oh, hey, I've got a quick question. And sometimes we do, but if it's slightly more complex, we're just, hey, do you have a second for a video chat? So it's face-to-face, ask each other for help with something or input, and screen sharing, you know, to, you know, demonstrate whatever help we need. And, you know, it does make it a lot better. And I think, you know, this past week I've started to feel the loneliness creep in the sense that I'm just, as much as I love your company and we get along fantastically, I'm suddenly very aware that you're the only human I'm around right now.
Yeah.
And even though we tend to do most things together, we're usually together, I'm missing that day-to-day interaction with the crazy people at my office and the jokes and the fun and...
But that's it, there's a lot...
Variety.
There's a lot in it. On the one hand, you're out of the house, you know, 9, 10, 11 hours a day, which is a huge amount of time. Mm-hmm. It means actually that we're together in the morning for a bit, and in the evening for a bit. So although we're together every day, a huge chunk of that, like the majority of that day we're not together, suddenly you are. And then, as you said, you're missing out all these different personalities that you're used to being in your life. You know, you're missing out, the jokes, the humour, the good, the conversations, the spontaneity.
Yeah.
And you're in one physical location, you know, with one person for company. I don't know how much you like them. It's tough.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I think... treating it like a normal day, so that you kind of part ways in the morning. I go upstairs to work in the podcast studio. Rich stays downstairs, usually comes up later morning to the other room up here. And it is kind of a, okay, I'll see you later. And then, you know, one of us will make coffee mid-morning, and then we have a little chat for 5 minutes, come back. But we structure our day so that when the day is over, it feels over, and then we feel like we have something to talk about because we've been apart all day. I'll never forget when I first moved to England, and because of my visa, I was able to be here, but I wasn't able to work yet. So there was like 4 or 5 months where I couldn't work. And I'd be at home all day. I might go out for some walks, go for a run, whatever, go to the store. But I was home. You were working from home because you were freelance at the time. So our day was, we'd get up, we'd have breakfast. He'd go do some work. I'd watch TV, work on wedding plans, this and that. And then we'd have lunch together. And then we'd have dinner, you know. But we had nothing to talk about apart from our wedding plans and plans for the future because we were together all day. None of us were out with different personalities or seeing different things. And I think everyone's in a position where right now, because of this outbreak, that's the reality.
But I think also that keeping it a normal working day, like, there's a really good point that when our work day's finished, we say, right, it's finished, and we move on, and we're not doing work anymore. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, especially, probably more likely to be those who live on their own, it certainly would have been me, is you keep working longer than you normally would, and then it's like, And I think that's where some depression and things can creep in. If you're only really doing that because you've got nothing else to do, that's probably not a good strategy for coping with it. It's just, I'll just absorb myself in work. And that's not to say, like, never do overtime. This potentially is a good opportunity to really use this extra time, because, you know, there's not the commute and there's not the distractions of colleagues, you know. So that's the flip side to everything we've been talking about. So you can use that extra time and maybe work a little bit later so I can catch up on a backlog that I've got. But if it's just, I've got nothing else to do, I might as well just get some work done, and it's a more of a negative outlook, I think nip that in the bud.
Yeah, I mean, we both really have been using this time, I think, as wisely as we can. I mean, you know, you to kind of do a lot more reading in the morning. I mean, you always, were not always, but more recently, you know, in the past few months, you've been doing things like that in the morning, but you're doing more of that.
Well, what's important here is that I'm waking up at the same time.
Yeah, me so too. Normally, maybe 20 minutes later, but yeah.
Normally I have a 45, 50 minute commute, so let's call it an hour. So normally I'd wake up about 6:30-ish and leave the house about 7:45-ish to get into the office and ready and everything for 9. And I know a lot of people would say, well, I haven't got to get up till 8:30 now.
Oh my God, two people in my office, we start at 8:30, and one of the girls in my team, we had a call directly after our morning conference call. She's like, yeah, I'm getting up at 8:00. And then the other guy, he never has his camera on first thing in the morning. He's like, yeah, I roll out of bed at 8:29. I was still in bed when we logged on. It's like, I usually get up 6:05, you know, depending how tired I am. 5 minutes makes all the difference, guys. But I'm getting up at 6:20, 6:30 now. So yeah, I'm giving myself a little bit of a lazier start.
But I think certainly for me it's important, because there is a way of treating this as an opportunity to kind of be lazier and sleepy and everything. But I don't really see that as being conducive to, certainly to like a positive. Now, I'm not, you know, if you're really tired and you catch up sleep, sure, everyone needs sleep. But yeah, you know, I'm saying generally, this isolation things is a really, really easy way for people to find themselves negative and in a funk,
yeah,
and just low. And you know, the amount of people I've heard say, oh, you know, I'm going to put on loads of weight in this quarantine. And so it's like, that doesn't have to be the way at all. So for me, I'm waking up at the same time because, you know, hopefully the plan is this is going to end at some point. If you can keep the routine as much as possible, then it's going to make it easier when that happens.
Yeah.
Not every day being a Saturday. So I wake up at the same time, which now means I've got 2.5-3 hours in the morning before I have to start working. So it's ample time for me to, I get quite a lot of reading done, maybe I get some exercise done. But the point is I can do whatever I want in that time, and I'm using it to be productive. And I think, you know, that is a bit of a segue from what we've been talking about so far, but I think as well, this is a great, great opportunity for people to really try and make some positive changes in life.
Set new habits,
because, you know, there are, work gets in the way of a lot, yeah, especially like if you've got a commute like I've got, or a lot of people have longer, you know, suddenly you can be saving, well, even if it's 1 hour a day, but certainly if people are saving 2-4 hours a day just on travel, the amount you can get done in that time is phenomenal. And it's a lot of people say, oh, I'd love to do XYZ, but I haven't got the time. And that's, you know, maybe that's a legitimate reason. But equally, it's also an opportunity now to say, I'm at home and I'm going to just enjoy myself. And I think there's not, you know, fine, you can do whatever you want, but I do think there's an opportunity here to, yeah, make new habits. Go on.
So it's interesting, you know, we were talking this morning about how I always feel really rushed. You know, if I feel like we have to be somewhere and there's something we need to do, I'm often like, oh, we need to get this done. I just kind of have this warped perception of time in my head. I think it's because my dad always thought that it was so rude to be late or something, you know, for things, and it's been kind of pounded into my brain. And so I'm trying to use this time as an opportunity to not feel that way, because my commute isn't as long as Rich's, but I have probably 30 minutes in the morning. It's a bit heavier traffic on the way back, so it's probably 45 to 50 minutes in the evening. So now I have almost 2 hours extra a day, and I get into work 20 minutes to 30 minutes early anyway, just to avoid the worst traffic. So really, it's 2.5 hours probably that I have in addition to my day. So,
well, that's the thing. There's also just these kind of like bits of time that creep up on you. So like, technically, my office, we close at 5:30. But no one does. So you don't want to be the only one that does leave bang on time, so you give it 5 or 10 minutes. Then it takes a few minutes just to pack up. And then there's a 5 minute walk to my car. So suddenly you're looking at 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, so it all adds up. But, you know, I don't think anyone does all the things that they want to do or has all the habits that they want to have normally. And like you said, I'm very aware that hopefully this is a temporary way of life. And, you know, then within the next couple months, things will be looking a lot more normal again. But I want to use this as a time to put new habits in place that will make my life feel more enriched. And, you know, if I implement these at a time when I have extra time on my hands and I reap the benefits of whatever those habits are, you know, I'm being more consistent with my workouts. I'm taking my time with them. Usually I get home from work and I rush out in the garage, do my workout thinking, shit, I've got to do this tonight. I've got to make dinner. I've got to do this. We've got to record a pod, you know, all this stuff. Now it's like, hold on. I wouldn't have even left the office yet. And I'm already lacing up my shoes, you know, and I'm going to be out in the garage and I'll be done with my workout before I would have gotten home. You know, it's almost like this time warp where it's bonus time. And so I'm not rushing these things so that, you know, I'll have a better result of my workouts. And then, you know, I'm taking more time cooking dinner. And our meals have been really nice. I mean, some of the nicest meals I've made for a long time have been over the past few weeks where, okay, well, I've kind of got some weird stuff to work with in the cupboard. You know, we're a bit limited sometimes on food, only because you can't get it. We have plenty to eat. Don't worry about us. But senpai. And I just think I wanted to, you know, I was getting bored of cooking before and now I have more time to think about it, so hopefully I'll be a bit more mindful and think, oh, you know, actually I need that, rather than getting stuck in the same routine of the same six meals you tend to make. Yeah, and, you know, just being more creative and putting more work into this. So I think people should just take advantage of that, really.
Yeah, but I know, you know, there are going to be people listening to this who say, well, you know, I can't do it. And fine, there'll be some people who genuinely can't. This is genuinely a period of suffering. And, you know, if that's you, then do whatever you can to find some support. But for everyone else, just pick one thing that you want to do. The obvious one everyone always says is I want to get into shape. And it doesn't have to be that. Like, just even if it's just picking one creative outlet or... but just one thing you can do instead of watching another Netflix show or instead of scrolling through Facebook, you know, if you find
sleeping in late
or sleeping in, if you're about to hit play on a Netflix show, just think, hang on, is there anything else I'd like to do in this 20-30 minutes? Because everything you've ever wanted to learn is probably on YouTube. You know, if you want to start knitting, that's on there. If you want to learn an instrument, it's on there. If you want to learn another language, it's on there. There's dedicated apps for everything. And it's all free, so suddenly money isn't an excuse to not do something. Time is certainly not an excuse not to do something. And because you've got all this extra time, you can say, well, I can still watch this show, but maybe I'll watch it in half an hour. And then if you don't really like the thing that you're trying to do, then it's only half an hour. But maybe you'll find 2 hours have gone by because you're really immersed in it. But whatever you can do to feel positive and come out of this feeling like you've improved in some way. So like I said, for us, that is... I'm taking the opportunity to read more in the morning. It's making life easier as far as being consistent with working out. And for you, yeah, you started poetry and stuff again, and you're taking more time in the gym. So there's...
I've started a poetry course online, yeah.
So there's anything. So just, if it all sounds overwhelming, because we've rattled off quite a few things that between us doing, and it can sound overwhelming, like... You don't have to do everything. Just pick one thing. And maybe that's learning a new skill. Maybe you think, I'd really like to understand more about podcasting. Let's go with that one. Now's your opportunity to actually just really dig into it and learn about it. And then maybe you can come at this and say, maybe I'll start my own. Or maybe I'll help people and I'll sell that service to people. But whatever it is you want to do, just pick one. And just put 10, 15 minutes in a day at the beginning, if that's all you feel capable of. And just let it kind of take its course.
Yeah, I mean, the poetry thing, I've been writing poems since I was about 10 years old, off and on. But it's always been a favorite thing of mine. And it's been years since I've done anything with it. And I took one of our dogs out for a walk after I finished up work the other Friday. And it was a beautiful spring afternoon. And, you know, I was kind of inspired to write something about what's happening in the world. And I wrote this poem and I shared it with a friend and I shared it with Rich and shared it with my mom. And they said, this is really beautiful. This is special. And so I shared it on Facebook and then had all these lovely things off the back of it and comments and responses from family and friends all over the world. And then our neighbor says, you should see if that can be published in our village little newsletter. And so now that's going to happen. And just because I decided to do something different because I had a bit more time. I had time to walk the dog. Then my mind was free. And so then I've been encouraged to do more with that. And I'm actually finding, rediscovering something that I really love again. And I think that it's so simple to just use this as time to sleep. But something tricky about this might be, if you're thinking, oh yeah, I would like to learn a new hobby or pick up another hobby or pick up a project that I sat down years ago and wanted to finish, and your partner maybe is having a hard time with all this and does just want to veg out in front of Netflix, you need to just be understanding and support each other. You know, if they want to sit and do that, check in with them. If you think they're getting mentally unwell because of this, then address it. But if your partner does want to go and do something else and you just want to sit, like, whatever you need to do to get through this is okay. Just make sure you're checking in with one another. But I think that kind of off the back of that, another point is sharing the load right now, especially in terms of chores. I think there's been so many posts on social media about, like, no one has an excuse for their house to be dirty right now. And it's like, well, okay, if that's how you want to use the time to clean, that's a great thing to do. We're still working 8 hours a day. I still, you know, obviously I have an extra hour here or there, but not everybody's going to be able to do the same amount of things, the same amount of time, etc., whatever their motivations are. But I think it's really important that because you are both around more, share the load of the housework more, you know. So just going to go with the stereotypical thing, maybe he doesn't do much around the house. There's no reason that he can't pitch in to make things a bit more relaxed and enjoyable for you. Or maybe you have a huge yard and he tends to do all the yard work. Maybe help him, you know, whatever that is. But share the load right now and be supportive of whatever each person needs to get through it. I think we all need to be very gentle with ourselves right now and with each other. Because this is a weird, scary time. You know, it's very strange. It's affecting people in a lot of different ways. Some kind of weird ways. But we all just need to kind of be there for one another. And I think that also kind of presents the potential problem of us fighting with each other, not me and Rich personally, but couples kind of fighting or getting crabby and snappy because of the emotions that are tangled up in the state of the world right now. So a lot of people are feeling quite tense and emotions are running a little bit high. And when we're like that, it's very easy to just snap. Why the fuck didn't you load the dishwasher? Or what are you talking about? You're so stupid right now. You know, you feel those things. Feel whatever you need to feel right now, but separate it from your relationship because we're all in very close quarters right now. And if you're letting the sour situation sour your relationship, it could have lasting effects.
Yeah, I mean, the thing here is that turn off the fucking TV. Like, turn off Facebook. I can't even begin to explain the sheer amount of negativity. Because obviously, this isn't like, the media's so bad. Like, it's nothing to do with that, but it's just, it's a bad situation, so the reporting on it's going to be bad. And if all you do is consume that, which a lot of people do, or, you know, you're on Facebook, if you're on any social media now, you're not going to avoid it unless you're actively muting. You know, if you're on Twitter, you can mute the words and stuff. If your family and friends on Facebook are posting about it, or they're sharing the news, and a lot of it's through concern, you know, like, telling people not to go out or to be safe, whatever. But you know, if it's all you're exposed to, it's gonna get in your head and it's gonna really, really bring you down. So, I think for us, it's almost like building a fortress around your house and the relationship. We say, look, we're obviously aware of what's happening and we're checking in on it, but we're not watching the news all day. We're not on Facebook all day. It's because then there's an element of be prepared. The thing I keep saying is be prepared, but don't panic. You know what's going on, do whatever you can, and then relax. Because there's only so much you can do, and as long as you're confident that you're doing those things and your loved ones are doing those things, then panicking and worrying and stressing about it won't get you anywhere. And the extension of that is being comfortable telling people. If people are stressed about this and they've worked themselves up about it because they are consuming so much of this, the natural reaction with that is to then tell everyone because you're worried and you're concerned and you need to make sure everyone else knows the extent of this. Mm. So, you know, it's possible that you're feeling a bit inundated with it. We certainly are from time to time. And, you know, you need to kind of put that stake in the ground as your boundary and say, look, appreciate the concern. I'm aware of this, this, and this. I'm taking X, Y, Z precautions. You don't need to worry about me. and we need to talk about something else right now. This can't be all we talk about. So, you know, feel comfortable doing that. Don't be rude about it. Don't be ungrateful about it. You know, it's always coming from a good place, which is great, but you just need to find a way to look at the point. Like you said, you know, your poem was born out of you. You took the dog for a walk and it was a nice day. The weather was great. Something good came out of it. But those are positive things in themselves. You know, take the positives of this isn't happening over the winter. You know, it's a nice day. You can at least look out the window and enjoy that the sun is shining or whatever. But I think it's just so important to try and shut that out. And I think it goes hand in hand with what we were talking about before about using this opportunity positively. And, you know, so if you can shut out that negativity as much as possible, just keep on top of what you need to. But simultaneously be like, I'm doing these things to feel better at myself and to improve my situation and make new habits. I think you're doing everything you can then to treat this as positive as a situation as it can be.
Yeah, and I think this also ties into what we were talking about earlier too, about the boundaries and not just kind of around protecting your work, but protecting your mindset right now. And, you know, it's all anyone's talking about and it's a lot. And, you know, like my mom emailed me an article the other day and I saw the headline and I was like, I don't want to read that. You know, it said what the article was about in the headline. And I thought, if I read that right now, it's going to get me down about things. So I didn't read it. And then my mom later said, did you read the article I sent you? And I said, I saw it, but I'm sorry, I couldn't bring myself to read it. And that's what you have to say. Like, I can't look at something like that right now. I'm sorry. She didn't take it offended. Take it offensively. Sorry. That's what I meant to say. Like you said, you don't need to be rude, but you have every right to say to people, I'm not talking about this right now. This isn't what my focus is right now. And, how have you been otherwise? You know, whatever it is. But, I think just kind of as one last, you know, word to those couples that are working from home, I think one thing we didn't cover was what if you don't have separate rooms? What if you literally are in a studio apartment where the kitchen's in the corner, the bedroom's in the other corner, and the only other room is a toilet? I think there you still should try and have designated spaces. That might mean one of you's working at the table or the counter, and it might mean one of you's at the coffee table. Or
you can have headphones on, so you're in your own. I think this is going to look different for everyone, but I think the main premise of what we're saying is do whatever you can to have your area.
But be intentional.
But that can just include having headphones on, and then you're in your own headspace, you're in your own mind then. That's it, you know, it's turn the TV off and just having a... If that means that you're on the dining room table and you eat there every evening, fine. It means you have to take the computer down every night and put it up every morning. That's fine. But the point is, every morning, you're at that place again. And you're not just saying, oh, I'll be on the couch today because, fuck it, I'm just at home. You know, that is whatever you can do to take charge of that situation.
Yeah, and I think in that situation, you might need to be a bit more creative with, oh, shoot, we both got calls at 3:00. We can't be on a call on this, you know. You're going to have to be flexible, and hopefully employers will understand that. But then if you've got
headphones, you know, with a microphone, like the headphones that come with every phone.
No, but I mean, like...
But then at least
if you're both talking, you'll still...
You will, but at least then, you know, your calls aren't going to be sort of polluting each other, and your clients aren't going to be hearing the other person's clients or colleagues and things.
I just think that I've seen a lot of examples of people just kind of collapsing into this situation. Like, okay, well... Fuck, okay, can't get any food, but they're not, you know, thinking ahead about how they're going to shop strategically, and fuck, like, I just feel really depressed about it, and they're not doing anything. I know it's really hard, and I don't mean that to sound judgmental, I just think that you can make this easier on yourself in a lot of ways if you take steps and you think ahead, and that goes to working from home as a couple crammed into the same house and not getting out lately.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hopefully this is helpful. I think there's a lot of really easily actionable things here that we can all do, and we're learning as we go as well. We know we're making lots of changes.
I mean, look, the summary for this is treat it like a normal working day, have a designated workspace, do what you can to stay positive and try and learn or implement one new thing, and have boundaries for yourself and people around you. You know, I think if you need a little cheat sheet to take away from this episode, I think that's probably it in a nutshell.
And help carry the load for each other.
Yeah.
Right, so we will see you guys next week. Keep well and safe.